it seems like the principles of ARCO have kind of influenced your teaching on a larger scale than just adapting to new modes of teaching. So remote teaching was one of the things where you kind of maybe thought through these ARCO principles in more detail because now you are suddenly teaching in a different mode. Mm-hmm. And there were certain things that you were doing in your face-to-face teaching that embodied the ARCO principles that were suddenly needing to be changed. So would you tell us a bit more about what these principles were and what were their significance in your teaching?
Sure. And just so that people are clear who are listening, I am not Māori, and so I'm very much coming at these values and principles from the perspective of what I've sort of been told and absorbed in the ARCO program, the ARCO Arts Pilot Program, and the people who were sort of teaching us and leading us through a series of wānanga and meetings were Hirini, as I mentioned before, and also Sharon Televave, who was running the project with Hirini at that point, and my kaiakos, Zoe Henry, and then Kaita Sem, who came on board. So my understanding is, I would say, a sort of limited understanding, but this is what I have kind of settled on at the moment as what I understand these principles are. So the overarching principle of ARCO, as I understand it, is really about the idea of teaching and learning being something that are cyclical and reciprocal, and that every person in the classroom can embody both positions, so that the teacher, ideally from my perspective, should always be learning something and can learn a lot, particularly from their students and from the process of teaching. And conversely, that students absolutely have things to bring to the classroom or the learning space, whether it's virtual or in person, that can teach everyone in the room. So that's kind of my understanding of that overarching principle. Manaakitanga, as I understand it, is about hospitality and respect for and kind of upholding in the classroom each individual person's mana. And I heard this phrase at some point in our training and it really stuck with me, that manaakitanga is about kind of honouring the essence of the person. And so that's how I try and think about my behaviour and my actions in the classroom and when I'm designing my classes. I definitely feel like I don't always get that right, but it's the kind of goal that I aspire to. So whanaungatanga was another principle that they talked about a lot in our training, that sense of creating a community in the classroom, a sense of kind of kinship and belonging and togetherness. And something that got emphasised a lot in the program, and it makes perfect sense, is that you have to create that sense from day one. Maybe even before day one, maybe even in your materials up online that people are reading about as they come into class. You have to make sure, or we have to make sure, that everyone feels kind of welcome to come into that classroom and that they have something valuable to bring, as well as having valuable things to learn. Another value that the pilot program sort of asked us to think about, and I never really felt like I quite got a handle on embodying this or implementing it, was kotahitanga, creating a sense of unity. And something that I'm still thinking about a lot in my teaching is, how do I create a sense of unity of purpose or experience for the students while also trying to cater for a big variety and diversity of learning needs and people with different cultural backgrounds, and, you know, so me having a sort of sense of cultural relativity. So for me, I'm still working on how that sense of manaakitanga and kotahitanga can work together. I'm sure people more knowledgeable than I am, you know, have a better sense of how they fit together, but for me, that's something I'm sort of definitely still working on. So then a couple of others that I think of as going together are tuitui and tohiva. So tuitui meaning kind of binding or binding together, bringing together, and tohiva being about kind of upholding or honouring the space between people. And again, this is sort of as I understand those concepts. And so when we were preparing to teach Classics 110 as an ARCO course for the first time face-to-face in 2019, we thought a lot about things that we would do in the classroom that would create a sense of binding and engagement and warmth and curiosity and fun, you know, all those things that help people learn because they're invested in coming to class and being there, and they feel that they can ask a question and that's totally fine, that they can offer their opinion or offer their ideas and, you know, they won't be shot down, all those sorts of things. And then te pai tawhiti was a really important concept for me to get my head around in terms of overcoming this kind of deficit model of thinking. So as we were kind of taught in the wānanga, from what I remember back in the olden days of 2019, te pai tawhiti means the distant horizon. And what we were asked to do was to keep firmly in our heads the idea that all students can succeed if we give them the right opportunities, basically, and that we need to kind of try and eradicate any unconscious bias that we have that makes us think, oh, this cohort or that cohort is coming in with all these kind of stumbling blocks against them, so it's great if they get a pass, but this other cohort, they're probably all going to get A's, you know. So it was really asking us to try and get away from any unconscious bias and to set high expectations for all of our students while enabling them along the way to meet those high expectations and creating a sense that we're getting closer to that distant horizon. We are getting closer to you guys meeting whatever your goals are. And the TUI comes back into that because we were asked to sort of regularly give the students feedback about their learning, let them give us feedback, give them feedback on their feedback. So there's this kind of ongoing cycle of us talking to the students about how what we're doing builds into the bigger picture of the course. And you know, people listening might be thinking, well, that's just good pedagogy. And I would agree. But sometimes I find it can be easy when you're really focused on delivering content and you're trying to squeeze all the content, you know, into the hour that you possibly can. Sometimes it can be easy, I think, to kind of miss those opportunities to let the students respond or miss those opportunities to have interaction where suddenly time gets away from you or you know, maybe let go of opportunities to give students feedback in the classroom where they're present. And so for me, it was about being conscious of really allowing some time where I would normally be talking to the students and instead making sure that they were talking to me, talking to each other, and that I was kind of just reminding them of those steps along the way that they were on a journey to success and that we were giving them really clear markers of what that meant and how they could get there.